Father God, give us a boldness and a passion to live for you no matter what. Father, for those who have tough decisions, we pray your wisdom on them. Lord, you say you want to lead us in life and help us to navigate these difficult decisions and times we're in. So we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your wisdom. We thank you for Holy Spirit, who is truth and leads us in all truth. And thank you for the unction of the Spirit of God in us to make decisions that honor you and please you. Lord, this afternoon as we look at your word, we have seen a church that has taken a stand for you, no matter what's going on around, no matter what false teaching or false religions are operating, they have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. And so, Lord, I pray as we hear your word this afternoon that you would speak to us about that very thing. Show us in our lives those things that would stop us from fully following you. We ask it for your glory, Lord, that we would be able to stand in these difficult times. In the power of Christ, we pray. Amen. Colossians chapter 4, verse 7. Let's start there. I'm just going to preach like it's Jesus is coming back tomorrow. We need to be ready. I'm going to read chapter 4, verse 7 to the end. We're going to wrap up the book, as I said, and we're going to see some exhortation the Lord wants us to hear this afternoon. Verse 7, Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. Remembering Paul, it was in jail. First Roman imprisonment. My fellow prisoner, Aristarchus, sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, who is called Justice, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my co-workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He's always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. Give my greetings to the brothers and sisters at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. After this letter has been read to you, see that it is also read in the church of the Laodiceans and that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea. Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the ministry you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. Well, we're going to look at these guys and girls that are mentioned here because they really speak from the grave 2,000 years later. Tychicus, Onesimus, Aristarchus, Mark, Barnabas, Epaphras, Luke, Demas, Nympha, Archippus. Wow, you know, when you do a study of them, you find out some really cool things. They are real encouragement, and I want to encourage you with them very quickly. I'm just going to go through them. Starting with Tychicus, the first one, he was one of the leaders in the church, and he was Paul's travel companion. You can read about him in the book of Acts. He seems to be often with Paul, and he's a faithful friend that sticks with him, closer than a brother, and goes through the hard times with him. You can read, especially in the book of Acts and 2 Timothy, about him. And I would encourage you to look him up, because he becomes one of the leaders of the church. He's just an ordinary guy who gets saved through Paul's ministry, and next thing you know, he's faithful to the church. Onesimus means useful. You find him in Philemon. He's actually the slave of Philemon, who has run away in that letter, probably because he wasn't treated very well by Philemon. But Paul calls him a son, which means he's very dear to Paul. And By tradition, it says he took over the church in Ephesus when Timothy was martyred. So he goes from a slave to a son to a leader in the church. He was also martyred, probably by stoning, tradition says. And after they stoned him, they dragged him by the neck and, well, we won't get too graphic, but he did not die a nice death. Which really speaks to me, you know. I study these guys and I think, wow, they were all in. They were all in. They had said, Jesus, no matter what, even my very life. Aristarchus from Thessalonica. Another one, persecuted. You can actually read in Acts 19, he was persecuted after Paul's preaching. It caused such a ruckus in Ephesus with, they were preaching Jesus, and they were, their god in Ephesus was Artemis or Diana. And so when they came preaching Jesus, they were, like, it caused such a reaction, they wanted to kill them, and Aristarchus ended up being arrested. You can read that in Acts 19. He accompanied Paul to Rome. He was a fellow prisoner, it says, which probably refers to a spiritual prisoner, because we have no record of him actually being in prison with Paul. And that's a term we're going to look at in a moment, a fellow prisoner. Then there's Barnabas. You probably know Barnabas. His name means son of encouragement. In Acts 11:24, he says he was a good man full of the Holy Spirit and faith. If you remember him, he was the one who actually discipled Paul, took him under his wing and taught him the ropes about following Jesus. He was martyred, stoned, and awful things done to him. Then we run into Mark, the writer of the second gospel. Mark, interesting character. Let's turn to Acts 15 real quick. Verse 35 says, Paul and Barnabas, they were travel companions who worked together the first missionary journey, teaching and preaching with many others the word of the Lord. And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, 15:36, let us return and visit the brethren in every city in which we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are. And Barnabas was desirous of taking John, called Mark, along with them also, his cousin. But Paul kept insisting that they should not take him along, who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. There arose such a sharp disagreement that they separated. So Mark was the reason that Barnabas and Paul no longer traveled together as companions in the gospel. It says he may have been disloyal and cowardice. He was young. Mark, he was not faithful to the calling. He was afraid of the persecution and probably said, I'm out of here. It's too much for me. But something happened, because if you go to 2 Timothy 4:11, Paul calls him useful. And if you read Peter, 1 Peter 5:13, Peter says, he's a son to me. And here in Colossians 4:11, Paul says this very thing right here. Colossians 4:11. Fellow workers of the kingdom of God. These are the only fellow workers for the kingdom of God. Something happened to Mark. What happened to Mark? I'll tell you what happened. He was mentored, probably by all three of these men, Barnabas, Paul, and Peter. He was taken on by these mature guys in the Lord, and over time, he worked out his issues. He became mature. He got over the fear and learned how to trust and follow these leaders and give himself to the ministry. And Paul says he is a fellow laborer in the kingdom of God. Great message of sticking to it and keep going and allowing other people to bring you to the place where you need to be in Christ. Then there's Jesus. Not the Jesus we know. Justice, they gave him the name Justice, which means righteous. The Greek equivalent of Yeshua, is, which means God saves. That's what Jesus means. Obviously, they didn't want to call him Jesus. There's only one Jesus, so they call him Justice. And he's probably one of the only Jews we have recorded here. I mean, he says these three guys are the only ones of the Jews who are true followers, who don't follow the law and allow the law to dictate how they live their lives. And so he was very dear to Paul. Then we have Epaphras. Almost done, very quick. Epaphras, we read in verse Colossians 1:7. He was a bond slave, bought with a price, owned by the master. That's what bond slave means. He was a founder of the church in Laodicea, Hierapolis, and Colossae. He was the founder of the church in that region, probably brought to faith by Paul in Ephesus. He served with joy and gratitude, it says. Luke, we all know Luke, he's the writer of the third gospel. He traveled with Paul. He wrote the Gospel of Luke, the book of Acts, very knowledgeable, well-trained, probably a Hellenized Jew, a Greek who converted to Judaism. 2 Timothy 4:11. If you go to 2 Timothy, I want to show you something, because we're going to talk about Demas next. So let's go there. I'll read it in a moment. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And Demas calls him a fellow worker. He was with Paul in the ministry. And then we get to 2 Timothy and we read this very sad news. Demas, 2 Timothy 4:10, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. We have the reverse of Mark. Mark wasn't worthy, wasn't all in, but came back, and here Demas seemed to be all in. He was a fellow worker with Paul, but he abandoned the faith later. Or several years later, when Paul is probably near his death, imprisoned for the second time in Rome, and he has Demas leave him. Notice what it says. Demas has deserted me because he fell in love with the present world and has gone to Thessalonica. That is quite a statement. Friends, I can tell you, I have been preaching this for quite a while now. You have heard me. It's happening en masse in the church these days where people are choosing the world over Christ, and there's a great falling away happening. There is also, you know, a lot of people turning to the Lord, but that's just what's happening in these days. As it becomes harder and harder to become a Christian, some people pack it in and say, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm not ready to lay down my life for Jesus, and I'm going to follow the world. I'm giving up. And that is absolutely the wrong choice, because that will ruin your eternal destiny when you turn your back on Christ. One more guy we're going to look at, Archippus, a member of the family of Philemon. You can read about him. Most of these guys are mentioned in the book of Philemon. He was based in Colossae. He was part of that household, Philemon's household, where the church gathered for worship. And he may have become, we believe, according to some of the writings of the early apostles, the bishop or overseer of the church in Laodicea. And it's really interesting. I'm not going to give you all this information. We're actually done with these. But I could go on and on about these guys and how they either died for the Lord or grew in the Lord and became leaders in the church, prominent leaders in the church. Now, that really speaks to us, doesn't it? See, when you read these guys and you read Scripture, you realize it's not about attending Sunday morning. It's about going all out for Christ throughout the rest of the week, and even on Sunday, 7/24, 24/7, you're on for Jesus, okay? Everything you do is for Jesus. That's the call. Lay down your life, pick up the life of Christ, and run the race. And when you read these guys and study them, you see that. And I want to go through this again. I'm not going to talk about the guys. Yes. Yes, he is. He is indeed an example of discipleship. The weak brother or sister is prone to enemy attack because they're weak, and they're easily plucked away or enticed, And it's very important. I don't know why it's so hard to disciple people these days, but for those who truly want to be discipled, you watch them grow. You know, like a little child who allows the parent to teach them all the way through, not just through, you know, the formative stages, but all the way through until they leave the house. The parent is continually imparting wisdom and knowledge to that child and guiding them until the day they're ready to go on their own. But often what happens is we get to a certain age and we think we know it all. We don't need our parents anymore. And that's not good practice of being a disciple. A disciple sticks with his master until he is released. Do we have that? And, you know, what was the command? Like, I don't want to wax eloquent too long on this, but Jesus said, go and make disciples. So when you're a disciple, you become a, you know, when your time is up, you mature in Christ, you become a disciple maker. Okay, you go from being fed to feeding others. That's what it means. And so ask yourself, who am I feeding? Am I mature in Christ? Am I mature enough to be feeding and nurturing other disciples and making disciples? Let's go to back to Colossians chapter 4, verse 7. I want you to see some stuff here that will speak to us today. Tychicus will tell you all about the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and fellow servant. If you go to Onesimus in verse 9, Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. Faithful, dear brother. What I notice when I read through this and through other texts in the Bible, we are the beloved of God. We are beloved of God, first and foremost, and we are loved by others. And we have been talking about this, friends, in studying in the devotions I write and in studying the scriptures we go through, that the Church of Jesus Christ is a place where love is central, where we really love each other. Okay, it is absolutely contrary in the Bible to often what is happening today, where it's just a Sunday event. Are you with me? I don't want to come down too hard, but my prayer is, God, when are we going to see the church really be the church, this called out community who are just in love with each other because God's love has been poured into our hearts and we just can't help but want to be together? Okay? Think about that. Christianity was never designed to be a Sunday event for an hour. It's designed to be a life lived together. Why? Because it's so tough out there. And it's going to get worse. And, you know, we have been fostering this at Freedom House. It's not for everybody. It's a tough call to lay down your life and allow other brothers and sisters, you know, dear brothers and sisters, to be part of your life. But in order for that to happen, you have to be like-minded. You can't really call someone a brother or sister if they love the world. If you know, six, seven days a week, they're in the world and they don't want a God relationship. Are you listening to me? And I'm not going to speak for Jesus, but from his word, I can, you know, discern that he really wants a church that loves each other. And loves each other to the point where, you know, the word here is agapetos, which comes from agape, means beloved. It's that God's love poured into your heart that serves others, that is there for others, that meets the needs of the congregation. And so if you don't have that, and you know what? It's a battle. It's a battle, friends. I'll tell you right now, it's very tough to love people on that level. But only God can give you that love. And you got to pray for it because Satan will come and he'll put thoughts in your heads that'll try to steal the love you have one for another. But Jesus says the world will know that you belong to me because of the love you have one for another. And so I want to encourage you, let's step up. Let's step up to that place of really loving each other and calling each other. It's not about us. The Christian life is not about us, okay? True community is formed in relationship. The more time you spend with someone, the more you should fall in love with that person. Do we have that? Dear brother, dear brother, dear brother. In verse 14, he calls Luke a dear friend. Actually, that word is the same as the dear, just means agapetos. It's loved. It literally means loved one. Luke, loved one. He doesn't even say he's a brother. He just loved. Paul and Luke, they just traveled together all the time. They were in each other's lives constantly. They lived life together and they grew to love each other deeply. Faithful, what does faithful mean? Trustworthy. He's a faithful minister. Onesimus was faithful. He's committed. The word faith is in faithful. Okay? In order to be committed to the body of Christ, in order to be committed to Jesus, you have to believe that he is God and he is important and worthy of following. And in order to be faithful to the church you're serving, you need to believe that the church is worthy to be faithful to. Do you get what I'm saying? Okay, you cannot give your faith to something you don't wholly believe in. And so if you don't really believe in church, many don't. Many think online church is okay and, you know, meeting one or two or three, that's all good. I don't think online is as satisfactory in your Christian life as needed. You need much more than that. You need face-to-face contact with people. You need to be able to serve people physically. But honestly, a faithful one who is faithful is committed to the body, is committed to Christ. And Christ says, serve one another. And so in order to be full of faith, which the word literally means, you need to be sure of what you believe. I believe in Jesus. I believe in the church. I believe I'm called to this church. And I believe I want to serve in this church and serve the people of this church. Faithfulness speaks about commitment. Okay? Commitment. And, you know, we don't have membership, like this ceremony called membership in the church. But when you come to Christ and you find a local body that God called you to, that is, commitment is required in that moment. When you decide, yes, this is where God wants me, this is the church for me, then commitment to this body, to these people, that's what he's talking about here. When Paul says he's a faithful brother, he's faithful, he's committed to Paul. He's going to follow him right to the end, and he's going to follow Jesus. Okay, so we are the beloved. We are faithful. I'm just going to confess it out of my mouth to this congregation. We are the beloved ones. We are the faithful ones. And then he uses this other term. Watch this. Fellow prisoner, verse 10. Fellow servant, verse 7. In my translation, it says bond slave. They're bonded together to one to another. They're workers for the kingdom of God, co-workers, servants. I mean, all those words have the idea of my life is not my own anymore. That's what a slave, the literal term doulos, means. I have been bought with a price. I have a new master, and I take orders from him. Okay, that's what it means to be a slave or servant for Jesus. And that's the language that is here. Fellow bondservant, slave worker of the kingdom. So I'm beloved. I'm faithful. You guys should confess this over yourself. And I'm a fellow bondservant in the work of Christ on planet Earth. These are the big ones. These are what categorize these individuals. That's why they're listed here. But we have one who rejected that calling. Every single person who says yes to Jesus is beloved, faithful, and a fellow bondservant. Notice some other things here. They encourage one another. Verse 8, we looked at that once in the devotional. Tychicus, that he may encourage your hearts. We have Justice, These are the only Jews among co-workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort and encouragement to me. We talked about that once before, about being an encouragement one to another and a comfort. Why? Because life is difficult, and true family members, they comfort one another. Okay, so beloved, faithful, fellow, bondservant, encourager, and finally, just going to wrap up because I don't want to go too long. I want you to look at verse 17. This one really speaks to us, speaks to me. Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the ministry you have received in the Lord. That is a big word. Complete the ministry you've received in the Lord, from the Lord. Do you know what your ministry is? Do you know why God saved you? Do you know what gift you have? Do you know why you're here on planet Earth in this church for this time? Do you have a ministry? Do you know what your ministry is? I mean, every Christian has this ministry: preach the gospel. Every single one, there's no excuse. Every single person has been called to declare the good news of Jesus Christ. That's why he saved you. But God has given us gifts. Many passages talk about that. And God has given us special endowments. You know what? He knew you before the foundation of the world. Your past is not a mistake. He's allowed you to experience life, sometimes difficult. He's allowed you to get education and experiences, all to shape and mold you to what he wants you to be. You're unique. But when you get born again and added to the family of God by Holy Spirit, there's an empowerment that comes on you for a function in the body. And without you functioning in that gift, that endowment that you received, the body's lacking. You can read 1 Corinthians 12 and discover that. Maybe your gift is leadership. You can read about that in Ephesians chapter 4. Maybe it's serving. Romans 12. 1 Corinthians 12. Those are the passages on the gifts. But you've been placed in the body for the body. And you have to ask yourself, and we all do, why did God save me? What ministry has he given me? See, it's God who gave it to me. I mean, Jesus told parables, you know, about talents. And who was it that was reprimanded by the Lord and really had a really bad end of life experience? It's the one who buried the talent. The one who multiplied it for the kingdom of God was rewarded and blessed. Friends, in this day and age, I'm going to keep saying this until I see it or the Lord tells me it's happening. It is absolutely imperative that the Church of Jesus Christ rises up and starts to shine in this darkness. It is a very dark time. It's nothing the way it's going to get yet. Okay, it will be very dark. I know some people talk about revival. Revival happens first in your heart. If there's any revival, I don't see that really in Scripture. It's Old Testament. I told you that. If there's ever going to be a revival, it's going to start right here. I will know revival is happening when people come to me and say, Mike, I got to serve. I got to serve. God has just, he revealed this to me. I have a purpose and a plan, and God wants me to use my gift for this purpose. Okay, that's when I know revival will happen, because that's when I know that God has really taken over a sinner's heart, when they no longer live for themselves but for Jesus. Okay. That's revival. We go from dead people to alive in Christ. And the moment that happens, we start thinking differently, we have new eyes, and we start believing that we have been called by God to serve God in Christ Jesus. Are you with me? Friends, I'm going to give you one homework. It's time to pray and ask God, God, what would you have me do for such a time as this? And you read these men, you read, you know, Nympha, who opened her house up. She just opened her house to have church. Maybe that's your calling. What have you got that you can give to the body? The body needs you. It also needs a commitment. It needs faithful laborers. It needs fellow soldiers who are willing to join the army of Jesus. There is a spiritual battle going on. It's happening very quickly. I have been telling you this a lot. That's why God led us through the book of Colossians, because there's tons and tons of false teaching out there, heresies, return to Judaism, traditions. Paul fought his whole life against this infiltration in the church. If anyone comes to you preaching another gospel, let him be condemned, accursed, forever, anathema. Okay, it is time for the church to rise up. And you and I are the church. It's time for all of us to rise up. I always open it up for comments, so if anybody wants to add, go ahead.
I want to really confirm this word that Mike is sharing. This is really on Holy Spirit's heart, is preparation of the body of Christ and unity in the Spirit, and to keep it and continue with it. But this scripture come to mind. This is, I'm going to start Ephesians 4:11. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his holy body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Okay, I'm going to read the last verse again. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. The body of Christ cannot grow. It cannot grow in the Lord. It can't mature unless each of us is doing our part. So it just speaks to we're a team. And God has given us each a gift, and we're to use it for his glory and for the building up of the church, to be part of the church maturing and growing. So if you don't know what your gift is, you can ask the Lord, you can ask people that know you to, like, what is your gift? What is your part in the body of Christ? Because like Mike said, the body of Christ needs you. What for? So that we can all come to the maturity and the growth in the Lord. Okay? It says the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. So, yeah, just want to encourage you with that.
Amen. You know, you read this passage, the last 11, 12 chapters of Colossians. There are 10 names listed. 10 names. It's not one man, it's not one woman, it's 10 individuals listed who were instrumental in not only causing the church in Colossae to flourish, but in Laodicea, Hierapolis, Ephesus. These guys were all, and gals, they were all involved in the ministry of growing the church, making disciples. It is indeed a team effort. And like any team, you've been called, you've been chosen, you've been equipped. Only you can decide if you want to join. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the ministry you have given us. Lord, we want to be faithful stewards who continue in that ministry and complete the work you've given us. Lord, as Paul says, we want to take hold of that for which you took hold of us. Lord, you plucked us off of this planet. You put us in the kingdom of God. That wasn't us, Lord. No one comes unless you draw. You drew us for a purpose for such a time as this in 2022 to declare the good news, to be co-laborers in the kingdom of God. Sink that in our hearts, so God, reveal to us this week our gifting, reveal to us our calling, and reveal to us the ministry that we have yet to fulfill in Christ. God, we see Epaphras was a prayer warrior, wrestling in prayer that the saints might stand firm, mature, and fully assured. Father, some of us have been called to pray. Lord, may we be content with that, if that is our calling, to be on our face wrestling for the saints. Father, if it is a call to go and travel for your name's sake, then confirm that call, Father. But Lord, you have called each one of us uniquely in our own circumstance, in our own place, to be an influence. Father, we call that out in Jesus' name. We just call it forth out of each one of us, that we will lay hold of that for which you laid hold of us, that we might be kingdom advancers, co-workers with Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. May we be faithful to you for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.